We are glad to have Mr. Gary Cross, the crops agent for the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service of Person County and Granville County. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Rob. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, sir. Can hear you loud and clear. Glad to have you with us today. And weather is changing. It's a little bit breezy today, and it talks like tonight it's going to get down in the upper 30s. But, you know, Sunday is November 1st, so it's time for, you know, cold weather to come in. And speaking of that, before you go to bed tomorrow night, Halloween night, set your clocks back 1 hour, because at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, we go back to standard time. And so it's going to start getting darker, well, about the same time as it has been, but it's just going to seem like it's an hour earlier once we turn the clocks back. But Gary,
So when you wake up, Rob, instead of it being 7 o'clock, it's going to be 6 o'clock.
Well, you're right. You know, it'll take us a while to get adjusted to the standard time. Of course, you know, either one of them really doesn't bother me. It's just the change. But after you get used to it, it's fine. But that change in it, it takes a little while for it to you know, more or less get your body, you know, used to the change. But again,
but Rob, I need to ask you a question. We haven't really had a hard frost yet, have we?
No, not really. They're saying that we could have a little bit of a frost tonight, but we really hadn't had a hard frost. You know, we've had, you know, spots of frost, you know, several weeks ago. You know, first part of the month, we had, you know, some patchy frost, but not really a hard frost. We sure haven't. And so hopefully everybody is, what you say, in a sense, per se ready for a frost. But just kind of looking at the week ahead, they're saying Monday night into Tuesday night that they are expecting widespread frost, you know, through the day. And so it maybe was a good time if you do have some outdoor plants that you've been putting off, you know, bringing them inside, or, you know, making provisions for them to protect them from the frost. You may be running out of time to do just that. And something else that you're running out of time on is getting your soil samples turned in to your local Cooperative Extension Service office, to where they can turn them into the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. And after Thanksgiving, that fee of $4 per sample, I guess, will go back into effect. Is that correct, Gary?
Yes, that is correct. And, yes, you better get them in, because after that, as Rob has said before, there is a fee charged.
Well, now, Gary, you're always busy doing different plots and different things, and you and I were talking briefly yesterday. You were saying that with the wet weather, that it had kind of, you know, put you behind on a lot of the little projects that you've been working on and doing. But
it has, Rob. The rain, you know, we've almost had a consecutive rain for 3 weeks, it seems like. And the main issue is, for not only me doing plots, but farmers out here trying to finish up. You know, there's still a little bit of tobacco. There's still a little bit of the you know, a lot of soybeans out there, which I want to talk about a little bit, a dab of corn. Many different issues that are still out here in the field that need to be pretty much taken care of. And that's what we've got going on out here. And, you know, we need some dry weather. We're getting some air. We didn't have as much rain off this last front as I thought we were going to have, but boy, did we have some wind damage. It blew and blew yesterday.
Well, it was a lot of people in this area that lost electricity, a lot of trees down in different places, and I know it was some people without electricity last night, but hopefully the power crews have got everybody pretty much back online, and you know, your old expression, you never miss the water till the well runs dry, and you certainly don't miss the electricity until the power goes off. But you know, those crews, they have to get out in some of the most worst of times to make the repairs, and they don't have an easy job. They have a dangerous job. But again, we do appreciate all of our linemen. And I actually spoke with a law enforcement officer yesterday, and he said that they were busy, you know, getting trees, you know, out of the highway and things. So, but the wind gusted pretty good around here yesterday.
Well, Rob, I talked to the Forestry Service gentleman over here, and he says that they'd been spending time cutting trees that whole morning. You know, people need to check probably their fences and things of that nature, if trees that fell on them, cows getting out, horses or whatever. So they need to check all that, make sure, you know, nothing fell on there. And most people know that, but, you know, always good to have a reminder if you get a chance to go out and look and spend some time doing that. You know, because animals get out on the roads, they get in areas and other places. So, you know, you need to keep the fences checked. Yeah, with this weather, you know, the main issue we have, the majority of the crop we have left out here in the field, of course, is soybeans. And soybeans, you know, even though they've got a pod that covers the seed, the pod starts to deteriorate, which creates mold, mildews, all different types of issues within that pod, which gets on the seed, and then the seed starts to deteriorate. You know, it's good to get in there and get those beans out as soon as it dries up. And if the beans are dry to harvest, what problem we've been having, Rob, and you've probably noticed this too, being out there on the farm, we've been having these hard morning dews, and they'll go into, or fog, and they'll go into like 10 or 11 o'clock, and then by the time it gets dry, it's 3 or 4 o'clock. Well, and then the dew point goes back up, and it's hard to harvest anything with a combine. So, you know, those are the types of issues we're doing. This week, coming week, if it gets dried out enough, maybe they can get some of that equipment on there and get some of the soybeans out and, you know, not sacrifice a lot of quality. But that's the challenging issues that we're looking at. And I see some rain in the forecast maybe next week. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping it's just dry and cool. That's exactly what we need for what's going on. So that's a big issue out here right now, is the soybean and the soybean quality, and it deteriorating here over this next, well, it's already started, to be frank with you, in earlier planted beans, and it'll start affecting all these other types of beans that were planted later too. So that's a major concern out here, and there's not a lot a farmer can do about it if he can't get in the field. But one thing he might want to do when he's planning for next year is looking at different maturities. Don't plant it all in one long maturity type bean. Spread your risk out. You know, maybe look at some fours, some fives, and maybe a six. Threes, unless you're, you know, in farther north part of the area, they've got to get some height. If they don't get any height, they won't yield for you. And that's a little bit with group fours, too. You got to have beans to get some height so you can get some row coverage and, you know, be able to put on some pods. That's Jim Dumphy, who's a retired NC State Extension Specialist in soybeans, and Rachel Van both will tell you that. So these are the types of issues we're facing right now. Corn can take a little bit. You know, if you get corn and excessive wet issues, of course, it'll sprout. And beans can do that, too. Most people have got the tobacco out, but there is some that's still out here. So, you know, there's some patches of late planted tobacco that's out here, so they'll be getting that in. There's been hemp. There's probably a little bit of that still out in the field. So, and it's no different. It'll deteriorate if you don't get it out, and it keeps getting excessive moisture. And most of that's turn because the day length has gotten shorter, so we're in better shape with that.
Well, now, Gary, as far as corn, I know a lot of the corn has been harvested, and I actually noticed some yesterday that it's not been harvested. It started out to be what looked like a really good corn crop this year, and then it got dry, and then we did get some rain. As far as bushels per acre, have you heard, you know, whether they say that a little bit short, bad average, or how has that shaped up for this year?
I think it's, you know, either average or below average. There's some corn that's really good there in Person County. There's some over here that's pretty good. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. It's all over the board, and there's some that's not as good. It hit, you know, a dry spell and didn't hit the right, you know, rains, and it's not doing as well as some of the other. So it's kind of a mixed bag. I'm not hearing a lot of, you know, just real high yields, but average to below average type yields is what I'm hearing. Which, you know, we've got a pretty good price here in North Carolina, so they'll make some money on that. But, you know, when you get under that 100 bushel, you know, get down to 80, 60 bushel, it's hard to make a lot of money with that. So we're kind of all over the board, Rob, to be frank with you. There's some good spots because they got planted early and got the rains, and there's others that's later corn that did get some rains later, and then there's some in between that just didn't get the rain, and they're just average or average yield. So there's a lot of corn like that out there this year, not just here, but all over. So, you know, that's what we're looking at for the 2020 season.
Well, now, as far as tobacco growers are concerned, have you heard any speculations about what the 2021 crop will look like as far as, you know, are the growers going to have the opportunity to plant more tobacco, or is it going to be about it was this year?
That decision won't be made till later January.
Oh, okay.
Mid to late January. That's to be seen. You know, they're planting a crop in Brazil probably right now or getting ready to in Brazil, or maybe some of it first of the year. So they got to see how that does, and or they may have already planted some down there. They got to see how that does, and that's all figured in. I mean, you know, what acreages and amounts that's needed up here. So we'll just have to see. Usually contract issues come out in January, and we'll see if there's more acres toward that. I could be wrong, but, you know, I don't control the tobacco acres, but I see probably, you know, similar to what we had last year. There may be a few that may have some more acres. I just, at this time, I wouldn't know. January would be a better time to probably have an answer to that question.
Yeah, well, now, you had said that you wanted to talk a little bit about the soybeans, and you said, or did I misunderstand, that dicamba may be coming back?
Yes, they had a lawsuit in June. You couldn't buy any dicamba after, I think it's 1st of June or June 30th, but I think it was after the 1st of June. It was a superior, it was a federal court of appeals that made that decision. And a lot of people like to spray them on double crops and, you know, late planted soybeans. Well, they hadn't bought their chemical. They'd had the seed and it was up and in the ground, but they hadn't bought their chemicals. So they got caught a little short with that suit. Well, I think they're going to come out now with a newer label. That means they'll have to be retrained. Those farmers that buy those soybeans will have to be retrained through a pesticide training on that label. And there's going to be some revisions in it as far as space between the field and the buffer zone, the buffer zones, you know, how you apply it, and what you're mixing in with it to apply with it, something that keeps the product from volatilizing as severe as it has been. So there's just going to be some changes on that. I don't know when it's going to be available for sale. That has not been, you probably have to talk to a private chemical company or a farm co-op. Whoever you do business with, they could probably give you a better answer on that than I can at this time, because they're dealing directly with the company representative that manufactured the product. So as far as the for sale part of it, I don't know if they're there yet on that, but it, from what I understand, it will be offered for next year, but we'll see.
Well, now, Gary, I know the Extension Service at different times throughout the year, you all have classes for people that are licensed pesticide that, well, what's the words I'm looking for, that has the license to apply pesticides.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that. Now, it's really important to keep up to date on these, because if you ever let your, you know, license expire, it's kind of tough to go through everything that it takes to get your license back. But what I'm leading up to, as far as all of those credit hours and things like that, all that is pretty much done for 2020, right?
Yeah, usually at the end of December, that's pretty much done. The main issue is, you know, you got to have two credits for what is called B training, which is geared toward safety, and then X credits, which are geared more toward agronomic and pesticide and herbicide usage. And those are critical to have, you know, as a private applicator to apply any chemical. Now, on top of that, if you're going to apply, like I said, the Extendamax or the Dicamba products or some of the other ones that are in that same category, you're going to have a separate training, which farmers who have used that chemical know about this, to get an update on the label. It's usually an hour to hour and a half program that they have to go. Paraquat training, you know, we had a meeting last year. In fact, it was my last meeting I could have with more than 20 people inside. And you can also do that training for Paraquat online. Just type in Paraquat online training in Google, and it'll pop up a site for you, and you fill out a it takes you to a website, and you have to fill out a password and all that, and then you take the test. The test is not difficult, and, you know, I'm trying to work out some issues, either my office or using the community college lab to be able to have people take that maybe online, because you, you know, can't have a very large gathering with that. So we've got some dates already lined up for our tobacco meeting. That will be on January 14th, 2021. I'll have a fit test. A lot of people don't know what fit test is. That's required if you use fumigants in any crop. You have to have your mask fit tested. So required bio 2021, and we're looking at a hemp meeting. And this is all going to be virtual, but if you don't have a computer, we can stand 20 to 25 people in a room. We may have five different locations that you can come to if you don't have a computer, spread out between five counties, and that's including Person and Granville. So we're having to do things different, Rob, than we have been in the past because of the virus. And, you know, we may be back to phase one. I don't know. I hope not. And trying to do some of these meetings so they can meet their requirements for the 2021 year and have the proper licensing and things they need for, you know, to buy chemicals and do the spraying that they need to do in their farming operations. And that's, you know, not just that. It's for people who are ornamental and do things for other people. If they spray yards or whatever, they got to have that type of training also. So, you know, we're looking at some challenges.
Well, you know, we get the ag review, the agricultural review, and I've noticed a few issues back. It comes out once a month where they had fined, you know, different people for, you know, misusing, you know, some pesticides, and also where it would drift off of the property where they were actually spraying, it would get on other people's property and cause damage. So this is a extremely serious matter. And so when they do have these credit hours, they're there to learn about the new rules and regulations of the different, you know, chemicals and all that that are, you know, being offered, you know, to use. And the way that these chemicals work, they are there to make things better and help out. But if misused, they can cause a big, big problem. So
sure, they can, you know, there's safety concerns surrounding any chemicals, handling, breathing, you know, spraying issues out here. Normally, to be frank with you, North Carolina is one of the lowest states on drift issues of any type of chemical in the United States. So, you know, they need to give a pat on their back that there's been some good training. Department of Ag's been involved in that training and moving that forward. So, you know, people are, you know, there's a tobacco field next to them. They take that into account or may not even plant there. A lot of people try and get weed control on fields that are surrounded by wooded areas, but the problem we have there is when you get a bean field surrounded by woods, there's always something that comes out and likes to nibble on them.
Deer. Gary, we need to take a quick break if we can
sure.
to get a word on for Jason Acock Auctioneering. He is actually having a farm equipment auction tomorrow down in Oxford on the Fairport Road. Here's more information from Jason Acock Auctioneering. Jason Acock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces a farm equipment auction sale to be held Saturday, October the 31st at 10 a.m., Halloween Day, for Bart and Russell Thompson, located 4721 Fairport Road in Oxford. Tractors, sprayers, tobacco barns, tobacco equipment, irrigation pumps and pipe, tillage equipment, fuel tanks, also a mobile home, passenger van, a ski boat, and lots more. You will find all treats and no tricks at this auction to be held Saturday, October the 31st at 10 a.m. at 4721 Fairport Road in Oxford. For terms to view pictures of some of the items up for auction and more information, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com. You can call Jason at 919-495-0285. That's Saturday, October the 31st at 10 a.m., a farm equipment auction for Bart and Russell Thompson, 4721 Fairport Road in Oxford. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285 for more information. We do appreciate the support of Jason Acock Auctioneering here on the Gardener's Corner program. Our guest today is Gary Cross, the crops agent for the Person and Granville County offices of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Gary, if you don't mind, I want to make mention about the Person County 4-H Wreath and Garland fundraiser. If you are interested in ordering a wreath and or garland from Person County 4-H, you can log on and check out their Facebook page, and it's listed as Person County 4-H. Or if you're not one that is on Facebook, you can go to go.ncsu.edu/4HPersonCounty, or you can call 336-599-1195. They have several different wreaths that are available this year, and they also have garland available. And the deadline to order will be November 9th, and then the greenery will be available for pickup on November the 25th. That will be on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. This is a big fundraiser every year for Person County 4-H. Again, check out their Facebook page, Person County 4-H, or you can call Michelle Van Ness, the 4-H agent, at 336-599-1195, or you can drop by the Person County office and pick up an order form to find out about the different wreaths and garland that is available. 4-H is a wonderful organization, and by you purchasing a wreath and garland, that money will go a long way in helping Person County 4-H. Gary, well, you were a 4-H-er growing up.
Yes, I was. In Gallatin County, Illinois, my extension advisor was Earl M. Lutz. And Earl Lutz at one time I don't think they give this award away anymore, was the outstanding agricultural agent in 1964 in the whole United States.
Wow, man.
So I had a good influence growing up.
It sounds like it. Now, would you say that your, you know, more or less being involved in 4-H had something to do with you becoming an agent?
Oh, I definitely believe so, yes. 4-H, you know, I lived in a rural community where we didn't have a lot of things. You know, you're talking 40-something years ago, 50 years ago almost, to where, you know, I grew up in a very small rural community, and, you know, you may have had basketball and baseball and summer baseball. But beyond that, pretty much many of the kids were in 4-H, and it was a pretty big deal where it was at. It teaches a lot of high-quality life skills. With a lot of the curriculum they have today, it teaches workforce development skills, which are very necessary for life and beyond. And the main thing I believe it taught was leadership skills. In relation to how to run a meeting, how to be a president of a club or a treasurer, and it made you better in your projects. You know, you always wanted to be first place. Not everybody can be. But, you know, if you didn't get first place, you got second or third, you worked hard next year to move to that next level to get to second or first place. So it taught me many skills in relation to how to deal with just life in general, and you know, what to say, what not to say, and really enjoyed my time in it. And I have been a 4-H agent in my past, and enjoyed that type of work, and saw a lot of very involved youth that grew up and became very involved citizens in their communities. And that's no kidding. And you can ask Michelle this or anybody that's been in 4-H. You know, there's a lot of people that are famous that's been in 4-H. Alan Shepard, the first person to get on a rocket in the United States, who was an astronaut that went to the moon. You've got country music singers. You have business people. And it goes on. And, you know, the alumni of 4-H out there is pretty huge in rural and urban communities today. So I would encourage anybody who's got youth to call and talk to Michelle about the 4-H program, because there's so many different curriculums and projects they can do. It is tremendous. And I would look into that. You know, many of us were, Kim, I think, I know it was in 4-H, Jennifer, and a few others, and many of the people that's been extension today, that works in extension today, were started out 4-H. So that's something that you know, you can do about anything, and I think 4-H helps give you that step up to be a better citizen, a better model, a better leader in a community.
Well, I agree, and if you by chance have a youth that would be interested in more information about Person County 4-H, all you need to do is call 336-599-1195 and ask to speak with Michelle Van Ness, and she can, you know, give you whatever information that you may need. And I once thought that, you know, 4-H was only about cooking and cows, but it goes far and way beyond those two topics. Not saying see anything wrong with cooking and cows, but it's really, you know,
well, Rob,
important.
I'll be frankly, I learned to public speak in 4-H before I even took speech in college. And let me tell you, go to the state, which is at the state fair in Illinois, you had a grandstand of people you had to get up and do your public speech at. And I don't think that's not intimidating when you're a young person. And it was, but it taught me how to, you know, what to do right and what to do, not to do wrong in relation to getting up in front of a crowd and speaking. And it helped me throughout my whole life, being in education and being in private sector and doing programs and talks and
4-H will teach you some things that you will use almost on a daily basis, you know, the rest of your life.
But
again, 336-599-1195 is your number if you'd like to talk to Michelle about placing an order for the wreath and garland fundraiser. Again, the deadline to order will be November 9th, and orders must be paid for when placed. Let's head down to T.G. Brooks Company, in business since 1936. We'll be back with more with Gary Cross here on the Gardener's Corner program.
The leaves are falling. It's October. Fall season is in full swing with warmer days and cooler nights. It's still time to plant your turnip seeds, though, and also your kale, mustard, collards, and broccoli. It's also time to apply Fertiloam and high-yield lawn and garden products. It's also time to sow the yard and do fall planting. Where do you go? T.G. Brooks Company. There's no better time of the year to reseed and refeed your lawn. Enrich your yard with nutrients such as lime, fertilizer, grass seed, including the new Top Choice Turf grass seed for greener and plush lawns. Many people have been to T.G. Brooks and picked up or had delivered beautiful mulch, including some of the triple ground mulch. They now have gravel by the scoop or bulk loads, and they have screening available too. It's also time to do some raking and stay ahead of the leaves. Get your lawn rakes and your tools to do the work. Fall and this time of the year is also a good time to check on your stovepipe needs and fitting needs. Also, they have your replacement parts for Taylor wood stoves like blowers, anode rods, rust inhibitor chemicals, and pumps. Next month, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. Keep in mind, T.G. Brooks will have your Thanksgiving famous T.G. Brooks hams. So plan now to put that on your shopping list for later on. From cast iron cookware to case pocket knives, from grocery needs to radio flyer red wagons, from plumbing supplies to electrical supplies, they have it and plenty of advice. Thank you for your business. Look forward to serving you at T.G. Brooks Company. Phone them at 364-2428.
Gary Cross is our guest today. Gary is a crop agent for Person and Granville Counties of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Anyway, Gary, we want to send out congratulations to Mr. Paul Westfall, who is the director of the Granville County Cooperative Extension Service, and he is actually retiring today. For quite a few years, he served as the director for Person and both Granville counties, and I guess it was last year in maybe December that they hired a director for Person County, Mr. Bo Freeman, and Paul just kind of took over Granville County, but he's actually officially retired as of, I guess, 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Yep. That is correct. And they had a nice reception for him yesterday afternoon, and lots of people came in and gave some talks on the benefits of having Paul in the county and his dedication to the position. And just a lot of good accolades to the years he had worked here in this state and in these counties. And he's been he had to help out many times in counties like Vance and Warren to be interim county directors. I think he told us he did Vance, Warren, Person, Granville, and there may have been another one. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But he's had he's done a lot, and he's worked, I think, in Arkansas, New York, for Cornell University, and he came down here because he wanted to get closer, I think, to where their kids were, and or at least a majority of where the kids were. And now he's retiring, and I guarantee you he'll be going hunting here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think he's moving. Is it to? Is it Arizona?
No, he's still staying here, but he has a family farm down in Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah, okay, Arkansas.
And he's going to spend some time down there hunting and probably working and fixing things and just kind of relaxing and scouting out where the deer are and just kind of, you know, enjoying himself and kind of backing away from everything and starting a new level in his life.
Well, I sure want to wish him the very best. You know, over the years, Paul was on the program with us, and I always enjoyed, you know, talking with Paul. Very, very nice, genuine man, and I want to wish him many, many years of happiness on his new ventures as being retired. Now, Gary, a question for you. You mentioned when we were talking on the phone while I was playing a commercial, you brought up something. You asked me about our hay, you know, on the farm. And what I wanted to make mention of, the Person County livestock agent, Miss Kim Woods, has a hay tester that will test the moisture in hay. And she is actually also the livestock agent for Granville County. But anyway, Kim had told me several weeks ago that they had purchased a hay moisture tester for the office. And she says if they can go out to the farm and test, you know, the moisture of hay. And this is something that is very critical to, of course, the quality of hay. And also, you don't want to put hay in storage that is has a really high rate of moisture in it, because by it having moisture in it, it will more or less start to, you know, rot and decay, and this will actually sometimes get hot enough that it could, you know, set something on fire. But if you have some hay out there that you would like to have the moisture checked in it, just contact the local cooperative extension service office in your county, and maybe they will be able to help you out with that, because very, very important. You know, you certainly don't want to put all your hay in the barn and it's too wet and end up causing a barn fire. You know, Gary?
Yes, I've seen those. I've actually was driving home one night when I was working for the University of Missouri, or the late evening or an evening. Still hadn't turned dark yet. And I noticed, man, that looks like there's something on fire over there. So I wheeled over there, and there were hay bales. The farmer was already there in the fire department. And hay bales had caught the farm or the barn on fire. And he said, he kept saying, I put it up too green. I put it up too green. And you're exactly correct, Rob. That can happen. Seen it happen. And, you know, you lose the hay, and then you lose the barn or the overhead shed that you stored it in, both. So you got an expense in both issues that you've lost. So, you know, you got to, Kim's exactly correct. You got to have the right moisture in that hay when you're storing it. You cut it way too green, you can have issues like that.
336-599-1195 is the telephone number to where you can contact Miss Kim Woods. We need to get a word on for Jason Aycock Auctioneering, and we'll be back with Gary Cross right after this. Jason Aycock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces a farm equipment auction sale to be held Saturday, October the 31st at 10 a.m., Halloween Day, for Bart and Russell Thompson, located 4721 Fairport Road in Oxford. Tractors, sprayers, tobacco barns, tobacco equipment, irrigation pumps and pipe, tillage equipment, fuel tanks, also a mobile home, passenger van, a ski boat, and lots more. You will find all treats and no tricks at this auction to be held Saturday, October the 31st at 10 a.m. at 4721 Fairport Road in Oxford. For terms, to view pictures of some of the items up for auction and more information, log on to jasonaycockauctioneering.com. You can call Jason at 919-495-0285. That's Saturday, October the 31st at 10 a.m., a farm equipment auction for Bart and Russell Thompson, 4721 Fairport Road in Oxford. Log on to jasonaycockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285 for more information. Looks like it'll be a nice day for an auction tomorrow in Oxford. Gary Cross is our guest. Gary, a question for you. As far as the hot crop for 2021, what would you say that's going to be?
Well, you know, of course, we got farmers that do, you know, the three main crops, which is tobacco, corn, and soybeans, or four, wheat. I think wheat needs to be the hot crop. The pricing's been good on wheat. Wheat's, you know, pretty low input. It does require management and maintenance. That is something that we all can do a better job on overall, because wheat puts money in your pocket in the summer, and that price looks very good going into next year. And North Carolina, being a grain short state, gets a little extra money if you look on the markets than somebody that's planted where I grew up in Illinois. And, you know, the demand's out there for it, and it's much less expensive to put in than the other crops. So I think, to me, wheat is the hot crop to be looking at and to be planting.
Now, is it still time to plant wheat now?
Yes, there is. When you get closer to that late last week in November, you know, you start to get into things related to the tillers or the extra leaves on it could be limited, so that creates a yield issue. When you get in December, it really creates a yield issue. So if they are able to get it in the next couple of weeks, they're okay. You know, our normal planting date is about the 13th through the 20th or something like that. So we're not too far off from that. So there's still time, and they'll be planting it. And I'm hoping they'll plant, you know, two counties full of wheat this next coming year. Like you and I have talked about, Rob, if you decide you don't want to use it for grain, or some reason the price of the bottom falls out of it, which I don't see that happening, you can still use it as viable hay. And you brought that issue up. You're correct. It can be used as viable hay, and it makes a good quality hay.
Well, Gary, again, we are quickly out of time. I want to tell you we really appreciate the job that you do and all of the other agents. If you have a question for Gary, you can catch him at the Person County office by calling 336-599-1195, or you can call the Granville County office at 919-603-1350. Now, Gary does make, you know, on-site visits, as well as all the other agents. Thanks to T.G. Brooks Company and Jason Acock Auctioneering for their support of the Gardener's Corner program. And Gary, again, thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you, Rob, and your family of within the radio there always do a magnificent job, and we appreciate what you do for us.
All righty.
96.7 WKRX.